series in urgency, making the most of the time we have. Last week, we talked about mental health, talked about the struggles in some of our own families and some of the things that we deal with in society and the fact that it is a struggle. It is an epidemic. And it's sadly to say something that the church historically has kind of shunned or just said you don't have enough faith or you just haven't prayed hard enough. And thought to listen to some Christian experts in the field to help them love us and teach us. Today, they told me I couldn't call them experts, but I believe people who are passionate about Jesus and passionate about this church and their age groups. And so invited on stage our ministerial staff. This is Garrett Ashley. Garrett does our students, as you can tell. He is affectionately and dearly loved by those, as he should be. This is LaShelle Fox. She is our children's minister. She does everything with our children. Y'all gonna have to cheer for Deborah, because all her people, she does our preschool. They're all back there in the nursery area, but Deborah does all her stuff. Yeah. I am so fortunate, and to use a Christian word, blessed, to work on staff with these people. They absolutely love what they do. They're great at their jobs, and they love this church. And so I'm so honored to be able to call them, you know, co-workers in the faith, staff people. And it's just so fun to be able to work on staff with them and to see how God uses them. And so I invited them on stage to help me with the first part of today's message and are talking about our family, talking about parents, kids. We all have a role and a part to play. So the first question goes out to really all of them. I'm going to start with Garrett first. Garrett, what challenges do you see that families are facing in your area?
Yeah, teenagers are at a really interesting point where they're deciding whether or not they're going to take their faith and make it their own, or they're just going to leave it and have it based off of their parents' faith. So what they really need is an environment where they can ask the questions that they're having and be able to kind of share the different doubts that are going on inside their heads. They need to know that it's okay to have questions and to have doubts. And as parents, you get an opportunity to listen to them. And I think one of the best things you can do is to just sit and listen and let them just be able to get all these questions and doubts that they have in their heads out in the open and be able to talk through them. A really cool thing that you can do is ask clarifying questions rather than just going and telling them probably the same stuff that they've been hearing for a really long time, but asking them clarifying questions to help guide them through the different questions that they have and the different thoughts and feelings that they have.
Okay, before we get, I failed to do this in the first service. I'm trying to fix it for the second service. On the back of your bulletin is a sermon outline. There's a gap about this big on there. I really would encourage you to write down things that just kind of go, oh, yes, that's really good, because you're going to hear some great, great information up here from them. And so if something triggers an idea or a thought, I would really encourage you to write that down so you can retain it and not go, what was that again? That was really good, but I can't remember what it was. So take notes during this time. So LaShelle, same question. What challenges do you see families facing in your area of ministry?
Challenges, there are many. We just sent our third daughter off, third child, to college, and I feel like once she got to sixth grade, someone pushed the fast forward button. It was just like a blur. And there are many challenges. But what we talk about in his kids, we learn the Ten Commandments, and the first one is to keep God first. And I feel like that is really a challenge for everybody, but especially for families. We are so blessed in our area to have the resources, the opportunities to do a lot of really good things. And y'all are doing good things. But unfortunately, when you have so many good opportunities, we run the risk of pushing out the best. And so it is just like this ongoing, daily, intentional thing. And it doesn't look the same for every family. Every family is in a different place, but we all need to seek how to do that, how to show our kids and our families that God is first in our life, not just say it, but that our actions and our schedules back that up as well.
That's good. Determining between what's good and great or what's good and best. All right, Deborah, same thing. What are some of the families in your area that you minister to? What are some of the challenges that they are facing nowadays?
Well, in my area, The little ones haven't learned to love Jesus yet. So we're trying to teach them how to love Jesus. And they know mom and dad love them. They know their grandparents love them. They know their brothers and sisters love them. But it's our place to start teaching them how to love Jesus or who he is and that they can love him because Jesus loves them a lot. So the way to do that is just keep it simple. Simple words. Do it a playful way through music. They love music. They love to dance around and do hand motions. So that's how I'm teaching them to learn to love Jesus.
Okay. Deborah, you mentioned keeping things simple. I think I forgot to ask you this question in the first service. But how can we teach our children that they can be loved by God, but that it's age appropriate? You talked about keeping things simple. What does that look like?
It's using a simple Bible, a toddler Bible I use. It's colorful, it's pictures, it's easy words for them to look at. They may not be able to read yet, but that's okay. We can read to them. But show them pictures. They love to see pictures as you talk about the story. And I just love to tell them about the Bible stories on their level, and they do learn from it.
I think it's important that when you tell these Bible stories that we try to distinguish the difference between David and Goliath and Jack and the Beanstalk, that we say, this really happened. You know, to be able to say, this is truth. As interesting and awesome the story is, you know, in the Bible, the stories in this book were true stories. And I think Deborah does an excellent job. I've gotten to be, for Mother's Day out, I get to be Moses and Jesus sometimes and ride the donkey down and split the Red Sea and that kind of stuff. And so I was Goliath 1 year too. So that's fun. And she does a great job in teaching the kids that these are real things. So Lachelle, let me ask you this question. What do kids in your area need most from their parents? Short of that last little bit of snack right before dinner because they're just so starving, something more important than that, what do they really need from mom and dad?
Well, they need for us to show them that God is first in our life. It's not just something we do on Sundays. And there's just so many good things to do that we often forget that that's the priority. So really looking for ways to build him into your week and into your life, I think, is the most important thing. And teaching him that God takes first place.
Okay. Deborah, on Mother's Day out and different times in the nursery area, we'll see not just mom and dad's dropping off their kids, but grandparents play a huge role. And they have a bigger role than just spoiling the kids and sending them back to mom and dad. So in the area of grandparents, what do those kids need from grandma, grandpa?
They need the love. They need your attention. I remember as a little girl, just a few years ago, my favorite memory with my granddad, he let me paint his toenails a bright red. And you know what? He didn't wear sandals back then, but I didn't know that. I just knew he was giving me time to sit there and paint his toenails. So, you know, that is a fond memory I have. I will always cherish that. So, you know what, grandparents? Find something fun to do with your little ones, whether it be build a tower with blocks, build it as tall as they are, and then knock it down. That's simple, and they love just that one-on-one playtime, and they are learning.
Okay, Garrett, you've got all three of my kids in the ministry, so I'm sure you hear all the great, wonderful stories of how I'm doing it wrong. So throw me under the bus here. What might be some mistakes that we as parents, you know, make with teenagers?
Yeah. I get the opportunity to be around a lot of good parents. And I'm not a parent, so it's a lot easier said me to just be able to say it. But one of the mistakes that we see is sometimes parents lose sight of what's most important, as we've been kind of talking about up here, about what is most important. I'm going to read it real quick of what Jesus says is most important. A lawyer came to Jesus and he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So parents sometimes forget that their main job is to love God passionately and authentically, and then also to passionately love their kids. Sometimes we get hung up in the other things that we're supposed to do as a parent, rather than just what is simply most important in your role with your kid, which is to love God and then passionately love your kid. So I think that's the best thing that parents can do for their teens is just to passionately love them. I know it's really easy to get caught up in where my teen is spiritually and, oh, maybe they're not here, and other kids in the youth group are here right now, or my other friends that have teens, they're here right now spiritually. My kid's not necessarily there, and that's obviously something we need to focus on, but just not the most important thing to focus on, which is to just passionately love your teen.
Okay, that's great. Now, Deborah, in parenting, there's power in being present. So how do we offer guidance to show that quality time with children is important? What does that look like? How can we do that better as parents?
Well, you know what? Life is busy. But those little ones, they don't realize life is busy because to them, it's simple. So again, just spending time with them, whether it be sitting at the picnic table, eating a snack, or be sure to eat dinner with them. If the little ones in my area, they're kind of running around. They're too young to play baseball or football, so they're going to their siblings' practices and stuff. So during that time, that's a great time that you could take a special bag with you, pull out a Bible to read to them, picture stories, just a little one-on-one time with them because they don't really understand life is busy because to them, it's just playtime.
Wonderful. And I think, you know, one thing we've talked about throughout the week is making the most of every one of those opportunities. You know, at the ball field, yeah, you know, Timmy's doing baseball practice, but, you know, this is my one-on-one time with, you know, my other child and, you know, running around the parking lot or going on a bug hunt or, you know, those kinds of things. And I think that's really great, simple things we can do. Garrett, right back to you. What can parents do to help their teenagers grow spiritually?
Yeah, some practical things that I've seen work really well is first to model well. Model an authentic and passionate relationship with Jesus because teenagers really seem to catch more by what they see rather than what they hear from you. And then another thing is to listen to them. Like I said earlier, they got a lot of questions. They have a lot of doubts. Take time to intentionally seek for opportunities to sit and listen to your teenagers and let them open up to you without fear of judgment. And the last thing is to give space. Give space. It's okay that your teenager isn't at this place spiritually. Obviously, that's something that we want and we want to focus on, but it's okay. So giving them space, allowing them to get to that place through love and encouragement rather than forcing them to kind of be at that place. We see that that's usually kind of counterproductive. And just remembering in general that just to passionately love them because they're your kid, not as a project.
Awesome. Lachelle, now in your parents, your opinion, what should parents focus on most as they raise their kids?
Well, there is so much to focus on, and we as parents feel so responsible for the future of our kids, and sometimes it gets overwhelming. But I feel like what we need to focus on is the heart of our child. Just like Garrett said, we need to, you know, the Bible says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, your strength. And so that's our deepest desire for our kids, right? Is for them to love the Lord our God with all their heart. Well, sometimes we get really caught up in the behavior, and yet there's always a root behind that behavior, and that's the heart. And so I think it's so important to pray for their heart. Talk about their heart. I wish I had done this more when my kids were younger. And no matter where you are as a parent, grandparent, maybe you feel like, man, it's too late for me, but it is so not too late. No matter if you have a 50-year-old kid, it is not too late for you to pray these things into the lives of your kids because I feel like God has given us that opportunity to talk with Him one-on-one. And the power that prayer brings in our lives, well, there's just nothing like it. So the heart is the main thing to focus on. Our heart, their hearts, and then just really using that prayer power to bring change into their lives.
Now, Lachelle, wrap us up with kind of a final thought for this as parents and raising kids and what's most important. Just kind of wrap us up a little bit here.
Well, in children's ministry, it is our goal for kids to love to be at church. That we feel like is like so important for us to instill that into them when they're young. But a very close second is that for you as parents and church members and grandparents to realize the value of kids being here in our His Kids ministry. Because, like I said, there are so many things to do that parents and kids need to see that there is value in bringing their kids to church. So we work on a Bible challenge, we do Bible stories, and we just hope you really understand the value of bringing your kids to church and allowing that to be something that you do in your week to make God number one in your week. So,
awesome.
I think that's it.
Garrett?
Yeah, I want to add something real quick. You might be out there and you might not be a parent like me and Michaela. We aren't parents. That doesn't mean that we're kind of off the hook in this entire thing. Like, we're a church family, and there's a lot of kids in this church, and there's an opportunity to passionately love them, and they need that from just their mom and dad. So we also have an awesome opportunity to do that. Me and Michaela try to do that, not just with teenagers in our youth ministry, but just in our other friends that have maybe some younger ones or some older ones, and just also being intentional and loving them.
Awesome.
Yeah, I just recently read an article that said that kids going to college are more likely to stay in their faith if there was someone, another adult, speaking spiritual truths into their life other than their parents. So we all have that opportunity and that responsibility.
Well, thank you for being out here. We're going to shift gears a little bit and wrap the message up a little bit differently. Yeah, go ahead. They're amazing. You know, as your pastor, I was kind of walking through how to wrap this up, and I realized there's three things I wanted to kind of share with you guys to kind of wrap all this up in a nice, you know, bow and give us some practical walking steps. I think sometimes when we go to church, we're thinking, okay, so that was good, but, you know, and like Tuesday morning, we're trying to remember, like, what was that, and how do we do that, and I really feel like these are maybe oversimplified, but I think they're also very difficult to do. They'll bring great fruit. First thing I want us to realize going forth is this mathematical equation. Rules minus relationship equals rebellion. Rules minus relationship equals rebellion. As a matter of fact, God himself rectified the situation by bringing Jesus to this earth. He wanted us to have a personal relationship with us. He didn't want to be a God who just gave us rules. Now when we have a relationship with him, we call him Abba Father. He calls us children of God. And we actually, even later on, it says that we were enemies and now we're considered friends of God. God did not just want to give us 10 commandments or a bunch of rules. He wanted to establish a relationship with us. And so rules minus relationship equals rebellion. In our homes, moms, dads, if all we have are a list of do's and don'ts, but we don't have a relationship with our kids, we're not sure what they're interested in, we don't know what they like, we just know their after-school schedules. In all my years of youth ministry and even being a dad, I can tell you that this is a mathematical equation that I've seen to be true. We need to work at our relationship, but not just with our kids, but with God himself. Rules minus relationship equals rebellion. Here's three things I think we can do to help build a relationship with our kids and also build a relationship with God. The first thing is this: own your mistakes. Own your mistakes. If you believe that God has redeemed you, that God has restored you, he's made you whole, then if we keep those things from our kids, if we keep those things from each other, we paint a false sense of righteousness. And what happens is we neglect our kids seeing the road to righteousness and the road to restoration. You say, Paul, well, how much should you share and with your kid and how much is oversharing? Well, a lot has to do with your relationship with the kid, the age of the kid. But if God has done a work in your life, then celebrate the work that God has done in your life. I know of a family in my former church that this mom had an abortion as a teenager, and she was scared to share that story with her daughter because she didn't want her daughter to think differently of her. And we talked through it and we prayed through it. She decided to share with her daughter some things that she was going through when she was a teenager. And we believe to this day that was a catalytic point, a catalyst point in her life where she saw the work of God through her a mom's failure and rescued her from going down or potentially going down the same path. It was a very prayerful moment. It was a very serious moment. But this mom was able to say, this was something I did, and this is how what I've gone through, and this is how God has redeemed me in this moment. And I just want to talk to you about this moment as well. And it was a great opportunity. I shared not too long ago, I didn't tell him I was going to do this, but we have with us our very own Trick One animal. My dad's in the service, or in the service with us today. Y'all remember the story I told you about in the Army, and I found the motorcycle patch, and I was like, Trick One animal, like, what in the world? And my dad was like, I wasn't always the you know, a deacon and running sound and teaching Sunday school class, and that was a great teaching moment in my life. And when I saw my dad share this moment, he wasn't like, let me tell you about the good old days, boy. He was, this is what I did. This is how God had restored those moments in my life. And it was a teaching moment to me. Own your mistakes. I don't know how many times I've ended up in my kid's bedroom after giving the dad speech and sit down with my son, Jacob, and say, I want you to know I'm sorry. I want you to know what you did was wrong, but I lost my cool. And some of the things I said and the way I said it wasn't healthy, and I want you to know, as your dad, I'm sorry for that. When I choose to not go that route, I don't show and demonstrate my own kids what repentance looks like. I don't show demonstrate for my kids what restoration looks like. I deny my kids the opportunity to see what reconciliation looks like. When they've overheard my wife and I argue, the fact that I went to the grocery store and bought everything but bread. And all of a sudden, bread became the thing. And my wife and I are arguing for my kids to come back and know that mom and dad love each other. And sometimes stress and life kind of get the better of us. And that we shouldn't. And that wasn't fair. And, you know, we own our mistakes. Just don't be afraid to do that. We think here in Matthew 7:12, Jesus says, Matthew says, whatever you wish others do to you, also do for them. This is the law of the prophets. Matthew 7:12, whatever you want done to you, you do it to other people. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's the golden rule. That also goes for us as parents. If I want my kids to fess up when they do something wrong on their own, then as the leader in the house, as the example setter, I will fess up when I do things wrong, when I make a bad financial purchase, when I forget something, when I say something behind someone's back that I shouldn't have said, when I'm angry for something I shouldn't be angry over, when I fail to be in the word like I'm supposed to be, admitting those things. If I want my kids to fess up with those things, they need to see that in dad. They need to see that in mom. And so I'm going to set an example. I'm going to do things in the manner I expect my children to do them. And some of that is just owning up to your own mistakes. The second thing is this, be present. Be present. Wherever you are, be all there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9 says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words I command to you today shall be on your heart. We could have just stopped right there. That's pretty good. That's pretty powerful. Except for it continues on in verse 7. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them. When you sit in your house or when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. There shall be a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates, which means wherever you are, make God there. In every moment, point back to God. Be present where you are. In order to teach your children where you rise and sit down, you have to be present. You can't just show up to life as a parent and just make sure they, you know, there's money in their lunch account when they go to school, or they've got a PB&J sandwich on the way, and just pick them up, you know, 7 hours later. You have to be invested. And Moses, you know, the first five books, he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, he's one. Love him with everything you are. And with your children, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, talk about him. Be present. Help God be present in the moment. You're faced with a difficult situation, and instead of going, well, you know, life's hard, be like, well, what example in the Bible do we see something like this happening here? I'm not saying turn it to everything into a devotion, but if we believe that God's word has answers to everything we are, then why, as we as parents, if we'll say it, then let's model it. Let's point to the word of God at that time. Let's not just say Christian lingo and be like, well, you know, the Bible is the guidebook for everything in life. Then let's show our children that it truly does guide us in every area of our life. And be present. When you're around your kids, put everything down. Eyeball to eyeball. You don't like it when you're talking with your kids and they're on their phone checking Snapchat. And you're like, hey, phone down, listen to me. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, when they come to you, phone down too. It's nothing wrong with saying, hold on a second, let me finish this text real quick. Finish it and be like, all right, I'm all yours. What's up? Be present. But while you're there and you're present, make sure God is in the center of that moment. And the last thing is this, you've already heard it because it is the most important, which is love Jesus first and most. You've already heard the passage of scripture, Matthew 22. Someone came and said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replied, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love Jesus first and most, because that's ultimately what you want for your kids, is for them to love Jesus first and most. So show them how. Let them know what it means to walk the road of restoration and redemption by owning your mistakes. By loving Jesus first and most means he's involved in every area of your life. And so when you're there with your kids, you are making God very much the center of this time you have with them by being present with them and showing them that they have your attention. But love Jesus first and most. I had a phone call not too long ago from a pastor in the Dallas area, and he called me. He's like, hey, Paul, I know you got kids who play Fortnite and they play video games. And so here's the thing. I've got a pastor friend of mine. He's got a teenage son, and the video game thing has really driven a wedge between the relationship. I said, okay, talk to me. Like, well, he stole his parents' credit card. He's racked up over $3,000 in Xbox charges, and they've grounded him. They've done this. And it's just really created just destroyed their family. I wanted to know if you can talk to this pastor about a son. I said, yeah, give him my number and call me. I'm no expert, but yes, my kids do love video games, and we've kind of navigated those waters, and we've won some battles, and we've lost many more. And so, yes, go ahead and have him call me. So he calls me up, and he says, Pastor, I just appreciate you taking my phone call. Here's what's going on. And I just really felt like God had given me a real peace of how to love this man and his son at the time. And so he began to explain his story. I said, well, Pastor, let me ask you a question. You've been on a mission trip, right? And he goes, yes, sir. I said, what would happen if you were to go to a foreign country and you're going to set up shop as a missionary? What would be the first thing you would do? He said, well, that's easy. I submerse myself in the culture, get to know the community, get to know the leaders, get to know how everything operates, and just love people. Just love them and serve them. I said, you wouldn't go set up on the street corner with a bullhorn and begin to preach hellfire and brimstone. He goes, no, sir. I would walk out, and the first contact I'd make, I would just figure out, like, how do they interact as a culture? How do they work? How do they talk? What are the things? How do boys and men interact? How do women and children, how do they all interact with one another? And just submerge myself in the culture and love them. Just love and serve them. I said, he goes, why? I said, because that is your job as dad. He goes, I'm not following you. I said, your son is your mission field right now. You wouldn't walk into that room, just like you wouldn't walk into a foreign country and begin to yell and scream all the truth of God's word. Don't walk into your son's room yelling and screaming. Walk in and immerse yourself in this culture. I said, do you realize that there's certain games that they'll play online that That when he says, hey, yeah, Dad, just one more game, what that really could mean is we've won the first two, and if we win the third one, then the match is over if we're done. But if we lose, because it's a 3 of 5 series, did you realize that some games are set up that way? No. Do you realize that if you leave a game early, that it takes points away from your history, and it's a negative view on your profile in these games? No, I didn't know that. Are you aware? We went through some other things, and he was like, I had no idea. I said, so when you say something like, hey, off at 9 o'clock, sometimes 9 o'clock can turn into 9:15, but we all understand that 9:30 is like, it's just a kill time. He's like, yeah, that makes more sense to me. So we began to walk through some things that really a disconnect between him and his son, and he was just walking going, well, this is what I know to be true. Here's the rule, and it was causing a problem. Now, we addressed the whole credit card thing in a later. I said, but here's the thing. You've got a broken relationship with your son. So you got these rules, but there's no relationship, and what we're seeing is rebellion. So I want you to treat your son like a mission field. So over the last 2 weeks, he has been submersed himself in asking the son questions at dinner time. Like, hey, does certain characters give you certain abilities? You know, in the game Fortnite, he was like, well, you know, I can do this and do this. And he's just learning and retaining as much information as he could to understand more about what his son was invested in. If his son wants to play this thing, at, you know, 10, 11 hours a day, obviously it's important to him. So I want to figure out why it's so important to him. I went through the same thing as a dad. I told him, I said, you know, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. But my kids love playing video games, and I can continue to fight, or I can submerge myself. And actually, my two boys and a friend of theirs went to Austin and went to a 3-day, you don't sleep, play video game kind of thing. And I ended up going to Austin with them and hanging out and watching this convention center turn into a computer. Just, it was really awesome. It was so cool. I was blown away by all this stuff. And I learned a little bit more about how to love my kids through something that I didn't really know anything about. And it actually made our relationship better and stronger in the moment. Mom and dad, if you really feel like there's a rules and a relationship and a rebellion, my question is, if you really want to love your kids and lead them well, then look at them like a mission field. Submerge yourself in the culture. Figure out what's going on. People think I'm weird, but I have TikTok. See, they all laughed. But here's the thing. I have it because my kids have it. And I want to be educated on what is going on in my kids' culture and their world. Because if my first and primary goal is to love Jesus first and most and love everyone the same, and those being my kids, then I want to know what's influencing them outside of mom and dad, outside of Garrett and the youth ministry. I want to be invested in that, and I need to be. And some of those things you can bring up and say, you know what? Hey, I know you think that's fun, but by the way, when I was 17, this is what I did. This was our version of this, and this is how it landed me in trouble. And this was the road back to redemption and restoration. I had to travel, and the loss of trust that I had to gain back because I was lying in the moment. It's okay to own your mistakes. But if you're present with your kids, those moments will come easier and easier, and they will see the reason why you're doing this because you truly love God more than anything else. And them being God's workmanship, you want to love them well as well. Moms, dads, kids, you all have a role and a responsibility in this thing we call a family. Church, you have a responsibility. And it's a great one, and it's an awesome one. Because church, we get to celebrate in weekends like D-Now Week in our camp, where we see our teenagers come back and how the Lord has touched them and know that we played a part in that, because we don't just give money, we give to the kingdom of God, and we've seen that event, that youth ministry, that budget went to get a kid and bring him from death to life, or out of sin into righteousness. So what we do here is bigger than just meeting together. We want to make the most of the time we have. And last time I checked, we just lost some more time. That's the only thing we don't ever get back is time. So let's make the most of it. Moms, dads, kids, make the most of the time you have. And I'll leave this on this little pro tip for you guys. Kids, when your mom and dad say, how was school? Don't say fine. They really want to know. They really want to know. They created you, okay? They want to know what is going on in the life of my child. The best thing you can do in the relationship with your mom and dad is actually answer that question from the time they ask it to the time you get home. Moms and dads, never stop asking how your kids are. Never stop loving them. Never stop trying. They're too important to give up on. Kids, make our life a little easier. Answer the questions. Let's pray. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet as we close today, as we pray ourselves out. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you love us enough right where we are, that we don't have to do anything for you to love us more. But God, you love us so much that you're not okay with us being stuck in the same place. Give us as parents and grandparents wisdom how to love the generation below us. We don't understand why they do this and why they don't, but let us submerge ourselves into their culture to learn about it, to be a missionary, that your name would be made known from generation to generation. Give us as parents wisdom, give us boldness and perseverance. And for those that are children, give us a sense of honor, love, and respect for those who are leading us and guiding us. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for this opportunity. Amen.